الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاء والأكم. روحي الفداء لقبر أنت ساكن، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In a hadith sharif it comes that a person who is too stingy to spend money in the path of Allah, or he hasn't got money, a person who is too lazy to get up for tahajjud, a person who is such a coward he doesn't want to go in jihad, is too frightened, I'll die, what will happen, to go in jihad. For such a person, it comes in a hadith, what a prescription. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, harisun alaykum. He is, the word haris is used, which normally is used in a negative sense, that a person is greedy. And Allah says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa salam is greedy on you people. Not greedy for your wealth, not greedy for your woman, not greedy for your dunya. For what is Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam greedy? Maulana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi explains that one murid says that he saw in a dream that on his finger was stool, bakhana stool, and on his sheikh's finger was honey. So he went, he asked the sheikh for the interpretation. The dream was more, so he told the sheikh, this is what I saw, that on my finger is stool and on your finger is honey. So the sheikh said, the interpretation is very clear. You got dunya, you are involved in dunya, it's all that filth and dirt. And on my finger is deen, honey, which is all righteous piety. So he says, Hazrat, but my dream is not finished. You gave the interpretation too quick. What else you saw? He saw my finger, I saw my finger in your mouth, and your finger in my mouth. That means all that pahana, that stool, is in your mouth, and the honey is in my mouth. Hazrat Muhammad Tanwi rahmatullah Ali says, if this person is true, and he did see such a dream, the meaning of it is, the sheikh was keeping contact with him for dunya. He was haris of his dunya. And he kept contact with the sheikh for his deen. So therefore the sheikh was licking the filth and the dirt. Because the dunya, the filth and the dirt. So that haris like that. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was haris. Allama Alusi in Ruhul Maani says, harisun ala imanikum. On your iman. And this is generally for all people, not only the Muslims, that people must get iman. And we know the whole life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how people can get iman. Wa ala islahi sha'anikum. And your islah must be made. That was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was haris on that. And those who are warasatul anbiya, the inheritors of the anbiya, the ulama, they also should be haris like that. On the iman of the people, everyone. As we are walking, traveling, all these people, we are flying over the places. Allah must give iman to all. That must be a person. How can people get iman? And if we are genuine, am I giving one person da'wat? Even in the day, even one person, I give him the awat of iman. And think for ourselves, we've got our maids working in the house, we got the workers working in the shop, the maids are shining our toilets also. But do we ever think of cleaning their hearts? And did we ever give them da'wah? Think, when last did we ever think of even giving them da'wah? That worker in the shop is working, through him we are making money. The tell is ringing all the time. We are making money. But did we ever think of making him rich in akhirah? Give him iman, etc. So where are we? We are supposed to be also harisun alaykum, ala imanikum, wa ala islahi shanikum. Allah give us tawfiq. So anyway, so a person who is too stingy to spend money, and a person who is too lazy to get up at night for tahajjud, and a person who is too much of a coward that he doesn't want to go out for jihad. Just see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what the prescription he gave for such a person. We will write off such a person. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not even write off such a person. He said if a person reads just Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, only not even Subhanallahi al-Azim, Subhanallahi bihamdihi, only Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, it comes in this hadith. 100 times, you'll get the same reward of getting up at night, spending in the path of Allah and going in jihad. But now that we have said it, who of us will do it? We all will say, I'll do it. But we have to ask by tomorrow, nobody does it. So Allah give us tawfiq, so easy. Perhaps a minute and a half to read, Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah bihamdihi. 100 times, how long will it take? And we'll get more, we'll get thawab, like we stayed awake at night, like we went in jihad, like we gave money in charity in the path of Allah. So nobody has to be deprived. Our Nabi, harisun alaikum. And then, bil mu'mineena, raufur rahim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with the believers particularly, that is generally with all people, that is harisun alaikum. And with the believers, raufur rahim. In rauf is what is called, dafa mazarra, that no harm must greet you. And raufur rahim, rahim, jalbe manfaat, that the goodness you must get. And it's a qaida, it's a rule, that dafa mazarrat muqaddam hai, jalbe manfaat. Therefore Allah put raufun first, and then rahimun. So that is our Nabi. And he was, laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum, azizun alayhi ma anittum. Very hard he finds when he sees you are in problem and difficulties. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not see any animal is in problem. Animals used to come and complain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my boss is not feeding me well. And they knew that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam has got concern over everything and anything. So much. So we also should have those qualities. So anyway, Allah ta'ala has made it very easy for us. And if we do these a'mal, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahina, each and every soul will be in prison, will be in the condition of what it has earned. This is generally the meaning of this ayat for everything, even in this world, how we love, kama tudinu tudanu, what you do you will get, how you live, you will be like that. It is said, if you sleep with the dogs, you will get up with fleas. So who you sleep with, that is the qualities you'll have of those people. So yeah, in this world, whatever we're going to do, whatever we're going to think, whatever we're going to eat, whatever we're going to wear, wherever we are going, who we are keeping contact with, we will be rahina. We will be imprisoned with that condition. What we do, if we eat junk food, we'll be a junkie. You sleep with the dogs, you'll get up with fleas. How you live, that is what your condition will be. And that is in this dunya also. How our childhood, a person didn't go to maktab, for example. And he's out in a different world completely. Especially Allah protect us all. And this disease that has crept into us, all of us, the residential areas that we have. One was long ago, Our forefathers, they came here and they settled wherever they settled. Then with the Group Areas Act, they had to be moved forcibly. And they were moved to other places, which was in many cases barren land. If you take Azadville, for example, there was absolutely nothing there. You take Lanesia, today what a big place Lanesia has become. But there was nothing. If you take Soweto, where they moved the black people, the African people, there was absolutely nothing there. So they moved them to forcibly. And today we, where we established ourselves, our Adhan, our Masajid, our Makatib, our Muslim community, and we're going now into the white areas. We are moving up, but really we are moving down, where there are no masjids in those places, where there is no Islamic environment there, where you don't hear Adhan in those places. Your neighbors are all non-Muslims. We are going voluntarily there. The government forcibly took us out from our environment. And alhamdulillah, we established ourselves wherever. And their actual object was, they knew that the Indian man is a businessman. And we'll put him there, one side where he won't be able to do business, and that will be the end of him. But Allah Ta'ala made it such, they flourished. And how they flourished also. In their businesses, everything. And in those places, they masajid also today, everywhere. Not one, two masajid, how many? Adhans and everything. So it is not the man-made plans that work, it is Allah's plan that works. Everywhere it is the plan of Allah. But now we going to these other places. Of course, there is the other side of the coin, where alhamdulillah, there also, they are establishing in those what are so-called white areas. Masjids are there also being established over time, etc. But primarily, and then worse than that, going into the estates, where nobody can come and meet you. Jamaat cannot come through and meet you. Nobody can meet you. And then mostly those children are going to missionary schools, are going to Christian schools, and they are deprived of the makatib. Recently we won one supper in one town. The local alim said that he's making lot effort on these people who don't come to the makatib. He went and visited them at their home, and the little children, they are all just saying all the time, hello, hello. He's making salam. They don't know salam also. And this is what is happening right where we are now. It's not in America, it's not in Canada, it's right here. And those people who don't go to the maktab, they don't know how to make wudu. They don't know how to make namaz. They don't know about namaz. If they don't know salam, then where are they going to know? So they won't want to come to the masjid. They will feel lost here. They will feel left out here. That we don't know how to make namaz. We don't know how to make wudu. We don't know what happens there in the masjid. So the maktab is extremely important. If we attend the maktab, then at least whenever that little light will come, we'll have direction. And easily on our own also, we can look for the brighter light. And we can find our direction. But if we haven't been to a maktab, this is a very danger. And all of us was worried for everyone that he gets the maktab education. And this is even more serious for our girls. The boys, somewhere or the other, they will still bump into somebody. They will perhaps go to a masjid. But the girls, where are they going? They will be completely left out. Then in front of the town, the next day it happened by Allah's Qudrat, we went to another town, and the people who hosted us, they also, their children not going to maktab. Made salam to them, and they all the time, hello, hello. They don't know, we're telling them salam, make salam, the parents telling them make salam. But they don't know what is salam. So that is the condition that we, so what conditions we are in, we will be imprisoned with that condition. What, how we behave and what we do, that will be the result of it. Jaise karni, waise bharni. As you do, so you will reap, so you will get. Kama tudino tudano. What you do, you will get. Na mane to karke dekh. If you don't believe, then see what your actions, what you do, that is what will happen. If it's a hot day and you put on a big overcoat, you're going to feel very hot. And if it's a cold day and you put on a overcoat, you're going to feel comfortable. And if it's a cold day and you take off your clothes, you're going to feel cold. and you got the fan on, you got the aircon on, and you take off your clothes, what's going to happen? You're going to start sneezing, you're going to start coughing. That will be your condition. You will build up a temperature. What you do, the result will be. And it's a cold day, you came from outside, you put on the aircon, on heat, and you wear your warm clothes, etc., put the heater on, you're going to feel comfortable. So what we do, kullu nafsim bima kasabat rahina. Every soul will be imprisoned, will be controlled by what he has earned, what he does. That is in this world also. And then in the year after will be also. First before the year after will be the qabr. And that is what we must think of very, very seriously. Every day for few 5 seconds before going to sleep, when it was also the sister of mort, sleep, when we won't know what is happening around us. Think, now I'm dying. And also think that if I worked in the day, I earn money, I have a nice home, I've got a nice bed, I'm comfortable. If it's hot, I put on the aircon, a fan. If it's cold, I put on the heater. I got enough things to cover me, my duvet, my eider down, whatever it is. I got enough pillows, everything. I'm comfortable because what I did, I'm now in that condition. And if I didn't work and I did all wrong things, and I'm gone insolvent, even though I had everything, and now the carpet is pulled out from under my feet, now I got nowhere to go, I'm out on the pavement. Now that will be your condition. What you did, so that condition will be. So the same way think in our qabr also, where we will be completely alone, nobody there with us. With you, no alarm net, no emergency service, no emergency numbers. Nothing is going to help us there. Everyone, not my wife will be with, not my husband, not my children, not my bosom and best friend. Nobody will be with me. Well, I will be there according to how I lived in this world. I will be now imprisoned in that condition. What I did in this world, whatever gunas I made, they will be there now with me. But they will have taken on their actual and original form. Of flames, of the fire of Jahannam, of the snakes, of the scorpions, the smiting and the hitting of the malaika, who will show no mercy. They are made such that they don't have mercy in them. And in spite of that, is the riwayat of Mishkat Sharif, that those malaika who come in the qabr, if we go and say according to our thinking, there was no need for the extra precautionary measures. They are made deaf and they are made blind. They are given such hammers to hit that person in the qabr that the biggest mountain in the world, with one shot of that, will go into smotherings. And they can't see your suffering, they can't hear your suffering. And even if they see it, they are such, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't disobey Allah in the least bit. And to the T, they fulfill Allah's commandment. And there we will be with nobody there, what only what we have earned in this world. What our actions will be. And balil insanu ala nafsihi basira. Every insan, yeah, not mu'min, Allah told, insan, all. Everyone knows exactly what his condition. And the word that has been used here, basira. Like to understand it more clearly, Allah Ta'ala says in another place, Udu ila sabili rabbikum. Kul hadhihi sabili. Udu ila Allahi ala basira. That is with firm conviction. I know exactly what conviction I'm giving da'wah to the oneness of Allah, to akhirat, the life of the year after, the absolute control, the absolute system of Allah. No weakness in that iman. Ala basira. That is how da'wah must be given. Not that we are giving da'wah and little small COVID came and we changed. We also said now we must close the masjid. We also say now we must have social distancing. Not that, that is not basira. Basira, that you have that complete conviction. Not now, like in the UK. UK, we know it's normally a cold country. But presently, they are going through a heat wave. And the government said that all schools, etc. must close. Heat wave, all must stay at home. In the bazaars and marketplaces, Nobody heed the call. All are doing their business. Construction people all carrying on in doing their business. Everyone else, the only people who heeded the call, the Darul Ulums, that all must stay at home. Any small thing, it influences us. That we take that and we forget the command of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says that, بَلِلْ إِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. He knows himself very well. He knows exactly. But وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرًا. He makes plenty of excuses. In that excuses is, he makes himself look pious also. He will wear now not only topi, amama also. And now not only kurta and that, jubba also. And he make himself to bluff the people. When a person wants to bluff people, he makes himself look extra pious. Many times we find the collectors, now it's gone much less, but previously when they come for collection to the madrasa, overseas collectors, then we see them, they park in the car park, and we can see from the window, as they getting off, they put the khanka topi. And now to come and impress us now, that we also khanka people. So all this outward tricks that people do, and they know themselves exactly. There's also a different thing, you beguile yourself. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُ. You're just fooling yourself when you say, I don't know what wrong I have done. I don't know what my fault is. Many a person, when he gets caught, I don't know, I didn't do anything. We don't do things like that. We don't behave like that. We are not people like that. You hear this from good people. But when you hear the charges laid against them, and what the recordings of all those charges, what their language is, what their lives are, and what they are trying to do, so clear, and yet putting up such an innocent front, we don't know. Allah says, اقرأ كتابك, read your own kitab. Yes, everything what you had done, and with no addition. From the malaika, not one bit will they add, not one bit will they subtract. Exactly as you had done it. اقرأ كتابك, كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. You yourself are sufficient. I don't have to present evidence. There will be full evidence. Full proof will be there. But I don't have to prove. You yourself are sufficient. So each one of us know what we are inside. We try and massage our nafs and make ourselves feel happy that I don't do anything wrong. I'm perfect. But what halat, when the halat conditions have come, and remember also the fact of the matter is, who you think is bringing these conditions on me, it's not from him. It's from Allah Ta'ala. Allah is using that person. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. Allah says, in this way we use the more worse zalimeen, the more worse wrongdoers, to punish the lesser wrongdoers, the lesser zalimeen. Allah says, we use them for that. So in Surah, in Bani Israel, when about Baytul Muqaddas, that Allah says, عِبَادًا لَنَا. Allah says, عِبَادَنَا. عِبَادًا لَنَا. We used one of our ibad, one of our servants. Ibadana, that is our servant. He's our favorite. But this was not Allah's favorite. Allah used other people to punish the people of Baytul Muqaddas. So he's also Allah's banda, but he's a wrongdoer. So Allah said, ibadal lana. He is our banda, and we used him to punish these people who are our favorite and chosen people. But when they wronged the laws of Allah, then it became to such an extent that Allah sent those people not only to get rid of them, to desecrate the masjid. They came into the masjid and did all their filth and dirt in Masjid al-Aqsa. Not only that, the Torah, they trampled the Torah. And Allah is above everything. All this was seen what was happening. Now what we hear of the tortures of the Palestinians, the little babies, how they are tortured. It's all decreed by Allah Ta'ala. It is all our action. And in this context, the main thing is, some Palestinians came recently, and I asked them about this, that this is my line of thinking. You tell me if I'm thinking right or wrong. One of the major reasons is tashabbu bil kuffar. Now in the present condition, that little baby, that what is condition, but if you see the dressing of it, all that funny kind of clothes, all those funny things written on it, etc. All those, that the shabbu bil kuffar is to its height. And the other is ikhtilat bil kuffar, mixing with the non-believers. And mixing, not only the Quran goes into detail, transgressors, wrongdoers, even amongst the mu'mineen who are believers, and they have got their wrongs, and you mix with them, it will have an effect on you. Ibn Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi tabi, once a Shia wanted to come and read an ayat to him, wanted to come and meet him. So he asked permission by his hadith. They told Hazrat, he said, no, not at all. I can't allow it. He said, we send a message again that tell Hazrat, I won't say one word from my side. Only ayat of the Quran Sharif I will read. Hazrat got angry and made them chase him away. Ithna Ashariya Shia came. So afterwards they asked Hazrat that he was only going to read Quran Sharif, and Quran Sharif is Sarapa Nur, Hidayat, guidance, Nur Quran Sharif. He says, even if that person, a non-believer, even if he reads Quran Sharif, it will be tainted with all his kufr and shirk. And it's easy to understand, when it rains, pure distilled water comes down from the sky. But in your gutter, you've got some stool, some dirt. Now the pure water that comes is going to mix with that dirt. Now what's going to come out? You'll say it's pure water, but now it comes out with the dirt. So even if any transgressor, non-believer, even if he says the truth, it will be mixed with that kufr and shirk of death. And a believer, even if he speaks about dunya, there will be nur in there also. So this is very, very important. So we must see what we are doing. So now that Allah has brought us, the month of Sha'ban is almost here, we are at the end of Rajab. And also think, what did I do in Rajab? This month is gone, whether I'll see next year's Rajab. And today is the 28th, 29th, it started now, where it looks like there will be the 30th also, maybe two more days, one more day of Rajab, and what great virtues of this great month, what did I do? On the right one side, what did I do with this beautiful season that is coming? On the other hand, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, with all the conditions that are carrying on in the world presently, we know Palestine, who doesn't know what is happening? The zulm, the torture, the bombardment. Is the army supposed to be fighting the army? But when they can't do anything to the army, then they are going and the poor civilians, bombing the civilians. And small babies, they are all this torture they are doing. So all this that is happening at the moment, what has it changed me in my life? Each one of us think, has my breakfast changed a little bit? Has my lunch changed a little bit? My dressing, my ibadat, when have I given time? Think for dua for the Palestinians. As we are sitting and we will all regard ourselves as pious, and people also, these are Khanka people, they worried of the Islam, they go for etikaf. But ask ourselves that I give 1 minute for dua for the Palestinians. When my slot, have I got a slot for dua in the first place? In my 24 hours. And dua is so important. It is such a major, integral part of the Quran Sharif that we should be making dua, begging Allah Ta'ala. Have I got that 2 minutes, 1 minute of my time for dua? If I do make dua, it's after Faraz Namaz. And in fact, those Faraz, after which day sunnat-e-mu'akkada, the fuqaha have written, your dua should be so short, like Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. So much must be the dua. So that dua is very, very short. Or you make your own little dua, but who makes really dua? The imam also, in most cases, the dua, how the mutawalli standing, make it loudly or softly. And make it also in a way that the people become happy. Now 15 Shaban will come. One highlight of the Shaban will be bayans in the masjid. And then the duas. And then so duas that moved us. All that kind of duas. So it is just to move us. And just that we get that feeling, that nice feeling. But what is dua? Dua, many people take it as a vote of thanks also. After the whole procedure of a program that took place. At the end, this dua is a vote of thanks. What a dua! A dua muhful ibadah. It is the very essence and the very substance of ibadah. And by dua, a person, what duas he makes, everyone can check his iman according to his duas. Like, I've got a problem, something facing, I've got a financial problem, there's a health problem, I got in the family some health problem, I got some marital problems, in the family there's a marital problem, do I turn to dua? That was the first thing. Allah is the one who is going to solve the problem. But we, akal ke ghore dorate, we let loose, and our horses of the brain start galloping fast. The brain starts working to sort out this problem. We don't go to Kitabullah. We don't go to Sunnat Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how my brain, what my brain tells me. That is how I must sort out this problem. What other people do in such a problem. And we look at what the kuffar do. So much so that today, how many? When you get married, we go to see any bookshop and we go and buy a book of how you should spend your first night. How your relations with your wife. We go and learn from the kuffar all that. Everything, our whole. How many young women who have got some problem, or they think they got a problem with the husband. Now they gone on the internet. And they pick up there that my husband is bipolar. All funny thing, everyone got some effect of something. Everyone, now my husband is bipolar. My husband is like this. And there the marriage breaks up. All this rotten thing. What we had to do is turn to Allah. And for example, Allah says, you have problems, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. And on what occasion Allah said this? Battle of Badr. Muslims are 313 about. Kuffar are 1,000. Kuffar got the better place of the place of battle, the higher part. And to attack from the higher part to those who are at the bottom, very easy. From the people at the bottom, to attack the people on the top is very hard. The ground where the kuffar were was nice, solid ground. To move around was easy. It's not marshy. You don't get bogged down in the ground. Where the sahaba were, that ground was soft. You can't walk freely. Everything was against the sahaba. What did Allah say? You didn't need any of all these things. What you need, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. You need sabr and taqwa. And when they hate that, then Allah sent 1,000 farishta in Surah Anfal. First 1,000, because they were 1,000 strong, Allah sent 1,000 farishta. Then Allah sent 3,000 farishta. They were three times in number of the sahaba, Allah sent 3,000. They 1,000, Allah sent 3,000. One farishta is enough for them. 3,000. And then in between the battle, the news came, another contingent of kuffar are coming to attack, also joining the kuffar to fight the Muslim. So Allah said, I'll send 5,000. أَلِيَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ, just to give you contentment. So all this is that we must have, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. Sultan Ayyub, when he conquered Baytul Muqaddas, and he was in charge now, Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah. After this, some time, the Christians again mastered their forces, their army, and they came with a huge army. And it was almost impossible that the Muslims would be able to get saved. And worse than that, all the generals of Salahuddin Ayyubi, they all turned against him also. They refused to fight. They were bribed or whatever, and they said, we can't fight, and they gave him, it's impossible, this army, we can't fight them. Now he's one man alone. He had one confidante. He asked him what to do. He told him, make dua between Adhan and Namaz, which is a time when duas are very much accepted. And that time, duas also, what is called dua, that happened. One time, one person was making tawaf, a blind person, and he was making dua to Allah for his eyesight. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was the notorious ruler who was, for any small thing, to the gallows, hit his head off. He passed and he heard this person making dua. So he told him, you're making tawaf and you're making this dua? Your dua is still not accepted? Find my neck short when I come around. If your eyes are not restored, your life is going. He got what? He said, I had an eye problem, now I got a life problem. I was worried of my eyes, Now my life is going. Now he made dua. Just that in there. And that time wasn't that you making there on the first floor tawaf or something. Right then here, how long it took. And he came back. His eyes were restored. For how long he was making dua, his eyesight was not restored. Now he knew my life is going. That is what you call dua. That devotion, that passion, that conviction with Allah. Then see how duas get accepted. Our duas, while we're making dua, we're shaking, waving somebody also. While making dua, we all funny things we are doing while we, you call that dua. What is called dua? So Salahuddin Ayyubi, he made this dua between Azan and Takbir. Allah made it such he had to have no worry. That whole huge army that came, Allah put differences between them. And they started fighting themselves and they went away. They did not even come here. So when we really, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, if we have that trust in Allah, and we make our dua, we don't have to fear anything. But we don't do when, what is sabr on that occasion? We got no idea. What is that taqwa on that occasion? We got no idea. Then in front again Allah says, in tasbiru wa tattaqu wa ya'tukum min fawrihim hadha yumditkum bi khamsati alafin musawwimin. That when you hear a big contingent of the army are coming, you just again have sabr and taqwa. That is what you must do. How many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the enemy comes against you, and they fight you, they mock you, they say funny things about you, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْبِحْ. You engage in the tasbih of Allah. All the whole world is going upside down, you go quietly in the masjid, get up the hajj time, you make tasbih, and you make sabr, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, you have sabr, that was, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, you make tasbih, and all every, but we as good mu'mineen, our mind doesn't work like that. We see that materially, asbab, we are mukallaf of asbab, and Rabbul Asbab is totally forgotten. Allah. Only the asbab we have to look at. And that is our full attention and full focus only on that. That if we do this, let us see what will be the backlash. What could happen? A mu'min doesn't look at backlash. He sees the command of Allah. And Allah looks after the frontlash and the backlash also. We don't have to worry of anything. But we don't look at Allah. We look at asbab. And today that Maulvi also is a good Maulvi who tells you must consider the consider around, whatever. And a Maulvi who tells you, just trust in Allah, he is a mentally affected. Leave him, he's gone too, he's too extreme. He doesn't know dunya. He's out of this dunya. And who is a sane person? A sane person who is madly in love with Allah. A sane person, that is a person who's not mad. A person who is not mad, a sane person is the one who is madly in love with Allah. And all his work is according to that, not according to asbab. But we look at everything from... So anyway, this tasbih is so valuable. Now the 27th of Rajab has passed, which is a famous date of the Mi'raj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which should be such a great imani booster for us. And then the great gift of Mi'raj, namaz. See the condition of our namaz. When we say Allahu Akbar, forget thinking of the greatness of Allah as we are sitting now. We made Maghrib, we made Sunnah after that. Many of us made Nafals also after that. We all heard the Azan, but for Allahu Akbar said the begin, two at the end. Did we even think of Allah? Forget the greatness of Allah. Did the greatness of Allah come in us? We made how many? 3 rakats of Farz namaz, which each one has got 6 Allahu Akbar. So 18 times we all heard Allahu Akbar, the Imam saying, and we also said Allahu Akbar. But did we even think once of Allah Ta'ala? And then after that comes the thinking of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And did we ever think what is Takbir? What is Allahu Akbar? Ulama have written that when a person says Al-Takbir, Allahu Akbar, it is more valuable than the whole world and what it contains. The greatness Allah and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And the whole sum total of Iman is Namaz. If anyone want to know his condition of Iman, see what is my condition of Namaz. And Namaz, the sum total of it is Takbir-e-Ula, the first Takbir. that when you say Allahu Akbar, how much is Allah in your heart? How much is the greatness of Allah in your heart? How much are you committed to fulfill the commandments of Allah Ta'ala? How much are you convinced that Allah's commandments are the greatest? Not what the scientists say, not what the psychologist says, not what the engineers say, what Allah says, that is the greatest. How much are we convinced of that? And then when a person says, Allahu Akbar, then it is like before when grounds are dry, winter, grass is burned black, grey, and just the winds blow before the rain now, when spring comes. Just that wind, it makes everyone, the whole creation, feel so nice, and you feel a different mood you are in. When this Allahu Akbar is said, the whole creation is waiting for the name of Allah and the greatness of Allah, and they become nihal, nihal. They become extremely joyous and happy, like that winds when they blow, and then when the rains start coming. This is what happens. And when you say your takbir-e-ula with the imam, then 1,000 steps in front of you, as though you gave it in gold in the path of Allah, so much sawab you get. Do we ever think of anything? Where is our thoughts when we say our Allahu Akbar? Is it anywhere near deen? Is it anywhere in the masjid? Or are we far away from the masjid also? And yet we are all happy we made namaz. We gone home, oh, my husband is regular with namaz. He never misses namaz. He's all, but we hardly were in the masjid. We were gallivanting. Actually gallivanting in the whole world. And we put a false face of the we were in the masjid. Just our outward body, we put it in the masjid, but we, where and where were we? So now, this mi'raj and this namaz which we are given, now the 15th of Shaban will be coming. And 15th of Shaban, the most rozas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam kept, besides the month of Ramadan, was Shaban. And he explained the illat also, because our actions are being presented by Allah. And I would like my actions to be presented when I'm fasting. So this whole month is that accountability month. And the highlight of all it happens on the 15th. But the whole month, and on the actual day, then of course, how could Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not keep roza? When he kept roza for the accountability, and the main day is the 15th. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained the virtues of Ayyam-e-Bid, the bright days, the bright nights, 13, 14 and 15, and they have got special virtues of sawab to keep roza. When he explained that the whole year, then how is it when Shaban comes, he won't keep that roza? The whole year, and Shaban is a particular month. So keep that this roza. Then we go into Ramadan. And the beautiful, the first 10 days of the rahmat of Allah. Those who prepared and went, they get the full rahmat of Allah from the beginning. And those who didn't, and they get, now they take some benefit of Ramadan. The second 10 days will be the maghfirat now. And those who still didn't, they will only get the benefit in the last day. And those who went accordingly, your car, your plow park on a gradient, ups, going up, and you want to take off in your fifth gear, the car will just jerk and it will switch off. It can't take it. But if you are in first gear, second gear, third gear, now you'll just go smoothly. So if we prepare from Rajab and into Shaban and then into Ramadan, then I will go smoothly and we'll get the maximum. We'll cruise freely, easily. Just with your finger you can control your steering, and you will be going at speed also, getting all the benefits of Ramadan. And then the last 10 days, itqum minan nar. And when now you are free from the fire of Jahannam, you are free from all the torments and tortures of punishment, now you are a free person, how wonderful don't you feel? And then comes the night of prize giving, the night of Eid, and the great last occasion. How happy doesn't if that is not ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmain irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. I've spent 20 Ramadan, 50 Ramadan, but I haven't felt anything. Another Ramadan will come and it will also just go like that. If we do it, and life is coming to an end. So kullu nafsim bima kasabat rahina. What we are going to do, if we do the good thing, the good environment will control us. If we are doing the wrong thing, in the qabr, they will be with us. So it is up to us. Allah has given us every opportunity. And if we are blind and we are zalimul nafsi, we don't want any good for ourselves, we just want to destroy ourselves, then that is also up to us. أَنُلْزِمُوكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. Must we force it down your throat and you don't like it? Allah's system doesn't work like that. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. A person who inclines to Allah, Allah guides that person. We have that desire to take the full benefit from Allah, not just a thought, a wild thought that Ramzan is coming, I must get full benefit. That full desire, and then a person, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, once visited his daughter, they should call her Apa Jan, his first child was his daughter, and she conditions came upon her, she married in a house, they were not so well off, etc. So anyway, she told Mufti Shafi Sahib, I want to go for Hajj. Mufti Sahib asked her, you want to go? She said, yeah, I want to go. Make dua for me. She said, I don't think you want to go. She said, no, I'm telling you, I want to go. I make dua for me. He said, what have you prepared? Then she was stunned. Did you put away some money? Anything, even in those days, anas. Hey, a few cents have you put away for Hajj? She said, no. She said, you're not sure. You're not interested. If you were, you should start preparing. Put away. She started putting away, and perhaps about 38 rupees and to go for Hajj. What, 38 rupees at the most, not even 3 rand 80, 1 rand 50 or something. And you want to go for Hajj. But that money, she wrote that this is for Hajj. Mufti Sahib took it, he put more money, he sent somebody for Hajj Badal for her. When Mufti Sahib went for Hajj, he saw her on Jabal-e-Rahmat, the mountain in Arafat, that she's enjoying there. So if we are sincere, we do something. And we just carry on with our life as it is. Nothing of the khalat of the world changes us. We still just carrying on. That means we're not interested. We are just like immune to all these things. We all have taken the worst vaccine, not the vaccine of the COVID or other. We have taken vaccine that of all this dunya's halats also don't make any effect on us. We just do what we want. We are immune. We took the vaccine. And we just carry on. Otherwise, our conditions will change. Our time for dua we will give. Allah give us all tawfiq. And we don't know. And life is not when you're old, you're going to die. Anytime. How many, if we think, my friend who has passed away, I could have been in his place. He could still be living, I could have been dead. The other person who has passed away, I could be. Somebody who is lying in hospital, I could be lying in hospital. This is just Allah's system. What have I done for my preparation? Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.